I'm Robin Amler of IBS Intelligence. You're listening to the IBS iViews podcast. With me today is Ola Oyeteo, co-founder and chief executive officer of Virto. And we are speaking around the anniversary of Silicon Valley Bank. The bank collapsed last year. It seems longer ago than that, but it's not. It is only 1 year on. Silicon Valley Bank had nearly 250 clients operating in Africa and the MENA regions before its collapse. That left many African startups in the lurch. What was the key problem that these fintech startups faced, Ola?
I think the main problem the startups that operate in Africa, the Middle East, and sort of North Africa faced at the time of SVB's collapse last year, unfortunately, it's still an issue now. Mainstream financial institutions struggle with banking businesses that operate in frontier markets, such as Africa, the Middle East, and North Africa, because most of these markets are deemed high risk. So compliance departments in mainstream banks really struggle with getting comfortable with banking these businesses. And that was the challenge that most of them faced at the time was SVB's collapse. SVB, obviously, a much more innovative bank, and for tech-based startups, was the go-to bank if you were operating in these sort of markets. And that was the critical challenge, the fact that it was hard to get mainstream bank accounts due to the high risk of these regions.
All right, let's talk a little bit about that label, high risk. It covers a multitude of sins, and it's also not very helpful, is it?
No, it isn't. It's something that we kind of like have as a mission at Virto. We feel that financial inclusion should be all embracing, and markets or regions shouldn't be disintermediated from the global financial infrastructure because of the nature of these markets. There is something called the FATF list, the Financial Action Task Force, and they have a list of countries that they classify based on their take on controls that these countries have for sort of money laundering and counterterrorism financing, the checks and balances. And they come up with an update every quarter. And it just so happens that, you know, there's quite a few countries that are in Africa, the Middle East, and North Africa deemed as high risk and classified as such by FATF. So, you know, one could argue that this is a function of understanding by some of these global regulatory bodies. One could also argue that, you know, there should be a way to classify risk, not based on geographical exposure, but based on the underlying business itself, which is the sort of logic that we take at Virto, where we believe that every business is the same, regardless of where they sit in the world.
You start to touch on my next question, really, there. How do we get a more accurate risk assessment? What can be done to actually divide up everything that's labeled high risk and say, well, okay, some of it is going to be high risk. Some of it is. There's no getting away from that. But there are a lot of businesses that are labeled high risk, or they're operating in countries that are labeled high risk, which are not high risk. How do we identify those?
Yeah, very good question, Robin. And for us at Virto, this is where we think that technology can come in to add value. And also a lot of the advances that we've seen in the regulatory technology space, where you are able to, through access to the databases and APIs, call on information that are local to businesses in different countries. And essentially, I can tell you what we've done here at Virto to sort of like feel comfortable with businesses in these markets. We've developed our own firm-wide business risk assessment methodology, which essentially looks at a business based on the underlying nature of what it does. So it classifies based on industries, and it also classifies based on the data that we can actually access on that business, and the funds flow as well, rather than classifying as high risk just because of the markets that it's in. Nigeria, South Africa, Kenya, which are three sort of key markets for us at Virto, are at the moment classified as sort of high risk by FATF, But we found a way to ensure that we actually are looking at the underlying businesses in these countries or for businesses dealing with these markets and classifying them based on our own internal risk assessment. And I think if a lot more financial institutions can do that, that would actually be a much better way to classify businesses that operate in these regions. Obviously, you do have businesses in industries such as the extractive industries, you know, oil and gas, mining. You have gaming businesses. Obviously, you have adults and the likes that, you know, are underlyingly high risk. And obviously, if that sort of business is operating in a country that is in a frontier market, then you should classify it as high risk. But then you then have an e-commerce business that is essentially buying goods online from, say, China and selling to, you know, individuals in a market like Kenya, or a travel and tourism business that is taking bookings from an online platform and then obviously allowing tourists to come and stay at their lodges. And these are then classified as high risk. So obviously that's certainly not, it shouldn't be the case, right? And being able to find a way to internally assess this based on accurate parameters is how I think we can get to a place to resolve this.
Well, one of the things that struck me when you were talking there is the three countries you actually mentioned as examples, Kenya, Nigeria, South Africa, are some of the most significant economies in sub-Saharan Africa. And
absolutely,
there has got to be a huge cost to businesses in those countries of being labeled high risk when they're not.
Yeah, so this is these three markets are, depending on the data that we're looking at, about 40 to 50% of Africa's GDP. So you can imagine if, you know, 40 to 50% of the continent's GDP is deemed as sort of high risk in sort of the global financial compliance space, the impact that has on day-to-day businesses. A very good example as well recently was the UAE, which was also on the FATF gray list. It only came off the list a couple of weeks ago, in a place where you have, you know, the UAE, which is, you know, one of the larger economies in the Middle East, also deemed as high risk. It really just hampers trade. It literally leads to an additional layer of complexity when businesses are being handled by financial institutions. And sometimes people just, which is kind of like what takes us back to the SVB example, sometimes large financial institutions just don't want to touch these countries, just because of the additional complexity of what they need to do to feel comfortable. And I think that's very, very wrong from a financial inclusion perspective. And it is hampering trade, you know, to and fro these markets.
Let's be basic. It's not just hampering trade. It is adding a layer of cost to trade.
Yes, absolutely. And some of these markets are already dealing with some fundamental challenges that affect their ability to do trade, you know, seamlessly. So most of these markets have illiquid currencies. There is capital controls. There's somewhat archaic sort of banking infrastructure as well. So things take a lot more time. And they are some of the most expensive regions in the world to move money in and out of. So adding an additional compliance burden or layer of complexity is obviously not the best for these markets.
So what are you doing to help solve this problem?
So the first thing we do, which is what I alluded to earlier, is essentially we've built our own internal risk engine. So we have proprietary and sort of external data that helps us categorize businesses in these markets into what we deem are appropriate risk categories. We also have insights into local corporate registries. So essentially, we are able to access information on these businesses, the ultimate beneficial owners and sort of the directors, through external third-party validation. We take them through very extensive checks, and this is all done through our internal proprietary technology to give us a level of comfort with respect to whether we should be dealing with them or not. The other thing we do as well is have extensive transaction monitoring in place. So for us, once we onboard these businesses, we also want to make sure that, you know, we're in a sense on top of their transaction flows. So we have technology that we use to ensure that businesses are sending or receiving funds from the right kind of customers or counterparties, and we track that as well. making sure that, you know, payments are not being made to sanctioned countries, for example, or funds that are being received within the scope that we expect from each business as well. And what we've done over the last, I would say, 4.5 years since we've started developing this technology is actually refine it in a way that we're very comfortable now that we can actually give some of this information to large global financial institutions if they want to, for them to be able to be comfortable with some of these markets and businesses in them. So we're basically just taking the bull by the horn and we're building our own sort of internal risk engine, which sees these businesses the way we think that they should be seen and just doesn't put a layer on them that basically hampers them to trade.
Ola Oyeteo, co-founder and CEO of Virto, thank you very much.